this kind of sacred secular divide. It suggests that actually there are some bits which are much more interesting to God than other things.
Right.
That God is
right.
much more concerned yeah. than yeah. about the sacred bit, and he's not so interested in the secular. And the issue I have with that one, and I think is, you know, at LICC and whoever is, you know, kind of working in this sphere, is actually Jesus is Lord of all.
Hello and welcome to Independence, the FIEC podcast. My name is Adrian Reynolds. I'm the head of national ministries for the FIEC, and I'm here with Julian Gadsby. Hello, Julian.
Hello.
Thanks for coming to Harborough.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
From Newbury, so you've been into London and out of London.
Indeed,
and,
I have, yeah.
You've delighted in the Network Rail, or whatever it's called these days, getting you here. So welcome to Harborough. And you work for the London Institute of Contemporary Christianity.
Yeah, London Institute for Contemporary Christianity. Yes. Very mouthful. LICC.
LICC, most of us know it. And worth saying, by the way, lots of us in the FIEC have benefited from stuff the LICC have done over the years. Very grateful for Mark and all the work he's done and been really helped over the years. This is a really important topic we're talking about today. We're talking about work.
Yeah.
But before we get into it, just tell us a little bit more about yourself. Who are you?
I'm Jules, and I was an Anglican minister for...
You're still welcome.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Lovely to be welcome still. So I was in one parish three parishes for 13 years.
Okay.
Before that, and a curate before that as well. Last year made the step out of parish ministry to work for LICC.
Right. Got family?
Yes. So I'm married to Cheryl, who's a nurse, and got two teenage girls. One's at university at the moment, and one's just about to take her GCSEs.
Yeah, we may come back to Cheryl and her nursing perhaps at some point. And have you ever had a proper job?
Yes. So before...
I noticed you didn't challenge me there on that when I said proper job.
Proper job.
You know what I mean by that.
So we'll come to that later,
yes,
perhaps.
Yeah, yeah.
But before going to ordination, I worked for an investment bank.
Okay.
I was not a banker. That's way too grand a title. I was not a banker.
I worked in a bank. Don't write in with all your complaints about bankers.
No, I worked in a bank. Yeah, yeah.
And you saw the light, and you were called. Well, we're going to challenge all this vocabulary, aren't we?
Absolutely.
You were called into ministry and have served the Lord, and now you're serving the Lord with LICC.
Absolutely.
And what's your role with LICC?
So my official title is Church Engagement Specialist. I'm still not entirely sure about the specialist bit, but...
What do any of those words mean?
Absolutely.
So what does that mean?
So part of the church team, and one of the things we want to try and do is engage churches and church leaders with our vision for LICC, which is to equip and envision churches and Christians for what we call whole life discipleship, which is enabling them to see how Christ is Lord of everything they do and how they can serve him in their everyday.
Okay, so including work.
Including work, yeah.
What is work? Let's go back to basics. We're just laying some basic foundations here.
Yeah.
I guess we all know what work is, we think.
Yeah.
Theologically, what is work?
Well, I think the problem is we have with this idea of work is that we think of work as something we're paid for, paid to do.
Yep.
I think we need to widen that definition out a little bit to be the things that we're given an opportunity to do and the call to do at wherever we are, whatever our station is. So for example, the things that we have been given opportunity and passions to do, and that can be, you know, work that is paid for, but other things like parenting can be work,
okay,
or right. Household chores are work. Volunteering is work. Anything that fits within something which enables and others to flourish and for God's kingdom to be built, actually is that's all work.
So this afternoon. Later on, after work, it's interesting the way I describe it, because I'm using the language.
Yeah.
So I would say to someone here, what are you doing after work?
Yeah.
And if someone said to me, what are you doing after work? I'd say, well, at 5 o'clock, I'm going to look after two of my grandsons.
Yeah.
But that's interesting, isn't it? That I would think of that as I've finished work.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to do this other, I don't know what category I've got for it, really.
Yeah.
Grandparenting.
Yeah.
But that's all part of this
big
idea.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think it comes back down to the fact that theologically, we often think of work as some kind of chore, we have to get through to do the other things that we enjoy better.
So I've got to pay the mortgage, I've got to pay for the holiday, I've got to pay for my giving to church,
yeah.
So actually, I'm going to do a job, going to do work to enable those things to happen.
Absolutely. Whether I like it or not, I've got to do these things so that I can enable those, the more fun things or the more important, the more beneficial things. No, I just need to earn enough money so I can do those other things.
Okay, so we're broadening the definition out beyond that. But just, let's just pause a moment. Is that the way the world thinks about work? Is that where we've got that from, that sort of very narrow paid employment kind of idea?
I think so. And I think that, you know, there are times when we think of, you know, we have to be narrow in terms of thinking about the place that I find employment, you know, or I'm paid for. But actually, we do need to think a little bit wider. I think the work, the world wants us, I think, to think of work as simply a place of when you actually just earning money, just enabling the economy to keep going, actually, but actually you leave yourself somewhere else.
Yeah, okay. So I mean, you see that, don't you, in government's current strategy, which is to get people back into work.
It's
quite an interesting narrative that actually there are post-COVID lots more people who don't seem to be in work. That's that's the narrative from the government. But actually, they might be caring.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or they might be doing other things which actually are equally, we would say, are equally valid work, but they're not contributing to the exchequer.
Absolutely. But they're still opportunities to, and I think actually when we think of work as things which are enabling us to serve and bless others, serve others and love others and glorify God.
Right.
Well, actually, that could be any manner of things.
Okay.
Wherever we are.
So that's your definition, is it? To serve others and glorify God. Is that a good working definition?
I think so. I think so.
So actually, that not only broadens what we think of work, it also elevates what we think of work.
Yeah.
So, I think so. You know, this is significant. This isn't just something you do to pay the bills.
Absolutely.
This is part of, you know, we laughed about a calling earlier, but this is part of our calling as humans, isn't it?
And I think so. And I think that really goes back down to, you know, we know this, the story of creation and fall and redemption. But actually, if we locate work more specifically within that, we'll see that right at the very beginning of, you know, creation, we find God working. One of the striking differences between you know, the creation story of Genesis and the creation myths of the world around was actually, you know, work was seen as something which the gods kind of creative human beings to do, so while they can go and eat pomegranates.
So that was kind of a slave labor,
absolutely.
Really,
so humanity was created to do all the dirty work. Yeah. What we find in creation, in the creation story in Genesis, is that God kind of gets his hands dirty.
Yeah.
God is active in creating, and you know, in the other parts of the Bible which talk about God's creation actually talk about God being intimately involved in crafting and manipulating creation and drawing its potential out, drawing things together to actually make things. This is a God who in a way kind of creates through his word, but actually you have Psalm 19, which says, the stars of his handiwork, you know, that the work of his hands.
And
that tells us something about God and creativity.
So the work, so let me just see if I've understood that correctly, that the work that is being given to Adam and Eve, first man, first woman, actually is to share in the work of God.
Absolutely.
Not to do the work of God so that he can have a rest.
Absolutely.
He continues to work to this very day. So,
absolutely.
So there's a partnership there
that
elevates it to a high level.
Absolutely. And we see that, you know, one of the images, obviously, made things we find about humanity is that we're made in the image of God. And whatever else that means a whole load of different things. We have a long discussion about that. But one of the things that it does mean, I think, is that as it says, we're made in the image of God, and we're made to rule and to steward. And that the image of God was often something that was used just of kings and high officials, etc. But actually here we find humanity, man and woman, both, all of us, counted as images of God, and all of us have that kind of rule element, and that means carrying on God's work of creation. So actually, the picture of Genesis isn't just that God creates and then just it's just there and then we mess it up. Mm. But actually, there's a sense of we're to continue the work of enabling God's creation to flourish. to build, to develop it.
Now, you're going to forgive me for being a bit rude here. I can see how being a farmer fits in with that. I can't see how being an investment banker fits in with that.
Good point.
So there seem to be certain things that seem more noble
than
others when it comes to work, perhaps because they more seem more closely aligned with that creation mandate.
Yeah.
So how do we draw distinctions between different kinds of work, or should we not do that?
I think there are distinctions to some extent, aren't there? Because there are some things which, I think part of the issue is that we often think that some types of work are closer to God's heart, or they're more worthy than other things. Yeah.
So caring professions,
seems
to me very close to God's heart.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and banking professions.
Well,
draw your own conclusions.
but actually, within, if we think of culture and God's plans for his world, then actually we can see how building culture and building a society is actually part of God's great purpose and plans for his world.
Right.
So, for example, we find, we start in a garden, but we ended up in a garden city. Book of Revelation tells us we're in a garden city. And that says something about the progress and about the creation of culture. And if we think of banking as a way that actually enables others to flourish so that we can build things, we can buy things, we can enable each other to do more things, so that as we're building towards what God is doing in his planned future for his creation.
Yeah. I'm being very unfair on you here. Sorry, Julian.
No, that's fine.
Talking about banking in this way is very cheeky. Fine. As someone who trained as an accountant, I don't really feel I've got the moral high ground in any way.
I didn't train as a banker.
That is a really helpful distinction. But it must still be the case then that based on your definition about the flourishing of others, honouring God, and actually moving from the garden to the garden city, there will be certain professions that don't do that. They don't contribute to the building of culture and society. Yeah. And actually, I think that then you could almost say there are certain things that aren't godly, aren't there?
Absolutely.
So, we don't need to go into details, but there are some obvious things
Absolutely.
Which actually aren't going to contribute to the building society in that way.
Yeah. And actually, that we have to see that as a consequence of the fall.
Okay,
we
started with creation. Okay, let's get to Genesis 3.
Yeah.
And isn't it interesting how work is specifically the difficulties that arise in work are part of the curse, aren't they?
Absolutely. But they're part of the curse. Work itself is not the curse.
Okay, that's really helpful, isn't it? So I think probably that's the way, we think about work as something we have to get through.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, I'm about to be 54, and I know you're thinking he doesn't look a day under 60, but I'm about to be 54, so inevitably you start thinking about pension and retirement what's going to happen next, and part of me is thinking, oh, it'd just be nice not to get up in the morning, nice not to be tired at the end of the day, and that probably reflects deep down a negative view of work, doesn't it?
It does. Yes.
And so what you're saying is actually that's not the way to think about the curse.
No, it's not.
It's not that it's made work bad.
No.
It's made work hard.
Yeah.
Is that right?
I think so. And I think we think of thorns and thistles. I mean, Tim Keller talks about this, that work is part of the way that we deal with work and the way that we encounter work actually can be part of the curse. But actually,
for example,
when you're going into work and your work environment is not as it should be, it's a hard place to be, whether you've got work colleagues who are being particularly mean, or the work itself is frustrating. Those kind of things. It doesn't mean to say that the work itself is cursed, but actually, we all are. We're all dealing with the consequences of a fallen world that it doesn't work the way it should do.
No.
But within that, just as we find God clothing Adam and Eve and providing for them and continuing to provide for them, so we need to see work as a place where it is possible to see flourishing. It is possible to see God's grace, God's providence working through us and through other people as well. We have to remember.
So we believe in common grace.
Absolutely. Yeah. Common grace is such an important idea here.
And much neglected doctrine, I think, is it?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. And I think one of the reasons for that is that because...
So just for those who aren't sure, what do we mean by common grace?
So we're thinking of saving grace as God's specific work of saving us through Christ on the
Praise
cross.
Praise the Lord, yep.
And common grace is the the grace, God's providence and care for his world, sustaining his world in such a way that enables his creation to flourish still.
Right.
And for us to
so
still
the sun
be able
shines
to create
on
society.
The righteous
Absolutely.
And the unrighteous.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And we see that, you know, kind of working throughout creation, working throughout the Bible, actually that God uses and works through people who are not part of his people of God, either whether the Jewish people or the Christian or Christians. So actually, we see God working through history, working through nations. You know, we could see, you know, common grace.
Well, even rulers, evil rulers.
Absolutely.
Which is one of the hardest things to square, isn't it? So let me just play this back to you, because I think deep in our hearts, we think, you know, work, that's a secular thing. Mm. Of course, that's affected by the fall, cursed in some way. Perhaps we have a more positive view of it than just that work is cursed. But we know work is hard and, you know, there are things about it that are difficult. I wonder then if we're not quite so even in the way we think about other parts of life. So we believe in total depravity, right?
Yeah.
So actually, I think we tend to think, you know, work's obviously much harder because of the curse. So it's nice that I've got a nice marriage and, you know, all the rest of it, whatever it may be. But actually, the whole of life is affected by the curse.
Yes.
We mustn't single out work and say, well, work is particularly hard because of the curse.
No.
This is all of life stuff, isn't it?
Absolutely. So, and I think one of the issues we find is that, I find anyway, is that you often think, well, as a Christian, I should be doing Christian things and in with lots of other Christians. And actually what I need to do is try to escape from the world and actually try to push myself.
So we're
over
creating
here.
Two worlds,
I think,
in
so.
Essence.
Yeah.
We are, perhaps we wouldn't use this language, but there is a sense in which we have created a sacred secular divide. Mm. Actually, there's something more worthy. Let's say there's something more worthy in running a Christian toddler group than there is running a secular toddler group.
Yeah.
Or being a teacher in a kid's
Absolutely.
Kindergarten.
Yeah.
And is that right? Are we right to make that distinction? Is there any sense in which that distinction is valid?
I would probably say no.
Okay.
And the reason for that is actually the danger is that we find what that ends up doing, I think, is that this kind of sacred secular divide. It suggests that actually there are some bits which are much more interesting to God than other things.
Right.
That God is
right.
much more concerned about the sacred bit, and he's not so interested in the secular. And the issue I have with that one, and I think is, you know, at LICC and whoever is, you know, kind of working in this sphere, is actually Jesus is Lord of all.
Yes, but I'm going to challenge you on that. So let me just play. Don't like the phrase devil's advocate, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I have opportunity in my in the kids group
that
we run at church, the singing group, to talk about Jesus, you know, to sing songs about Jesus, tell people about Jesus. That's got to have more eternal significance than, changing nappies in a kid's kindergarten where I'm not able to do that, isn't it?
To some extent.
Okay.
To some extent. But I think that what...
So I'm always going to choose that. If I had a choice between the two, I'll choose that one.
Okay. I think the difficulty is that when we see work as and see this kind of sacred divide, as this one part here is, my work is really just an opportunity to share the gospel in
my mission
in
field.
Is your mission field.
Yeah.
So actually when we see work as I think the dangers we often see work as Christians is two things. One is an opportunity to, just waiting for an opportunity to share the gospel. And I'm just working while I'm doing that.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm filling the gaps between my next evangelistic opportunity.
Absolutely. Yeah, or it's an opportunity just to earn some money so I can give it to the church, give it to a mission. Okay. And what that does is it actually undervalues the sheer act of work and actually how work can be a blessing. So if we think of that definition of work as something that actually glorifies God and blesses and serves and loves others, then if I'm working, for example, in a hospital or in a nursery or in a bank, and
even in a bank,
but actually, if we're working in an environment that I can actually serve other people by doing really good work, so changing a nappy, okay, in what level is that kind of gospel ministry? But actually, what you're doing is you're serving somebody, you're blessing somebody, you are treating that person with dignity and respect and honor. And if you do that in your work as in a bank or whilst you're driving to work, you know, you're delivering things, you know, whatever your work is, there is an opportunity to by doing work that actually blesses and serves other people by doing it really well, enables them to flourish. If we enable other people to be seen as this person is worth serving, this person is worth dignity because they're made in the image of God as well.
Okay.
That the by doing that, it is actually gospel ministry.
So it really starts with the right view of creation.
Absolutely.
And if we've missed that,
absolutely,
then we've missed what we're doing.
And seeing actually that what ends up in eternity is not a case of, well, all of this doesn't, none of it really matters. Actually, it all matters. Because God is all, it all matters, because actually if God is over all things, and actually there are things that we cannot see where God's hand is, we don't know what will actually have a lasting impact. But if we see as everything is potentially has a lasting impact because actually God has created us for purpose,
right,
then what if we do things with that mindset of this is purposeful, I'm intending here to share God's grace and his love as a Christian in this workplace or wherever, whatever it is, then I'm actually adding to what's happening in eternity.
Okay.
And one of my favorite verses actually is in Revelation, where it says actually that the kings of the earth bring in their splendor, their glory. And that's always been important to me, because it suggests that the kings themselves bring in their glory. And it's not saying that actually their glory is robbing God of his glory, but they are bringing something into God's eternity. They're bringing something into that New Jerusalem that God has given them, and God has given them stuff to do. And it suggests actually that if our work is just really not very important at all, then we might as well not bother with it at all. But actually, it all has importance.
Yeah, it does. And does it?
It all matters.
It's a little bit more than that as well, isn't it? Because there's an equality about work. Mm. I wonder if this is a very interesting thing just for us to explore together, because it seems to me that we apply relative value to different kinds of jobs.
Yeah.
That's a very worldly view of life. Mm. So talking about your wife and being a nurse, my sister's a nurse. It seems to me, certainly in terms of what we pay, we value doctors more than nurses, and we value nurses more than carers in care homes.
Absolutely.
And there seems to be this hierarchy of worth that attaches to jobs.
Yeah.
You know, actually, there are people who are at the bottom of the pile, and there are people at the top, and actually the people at the top have more worth than the people at the bottom. And it seems to me it's quite a dangerous path. But actually, a right doctrine of creation just undermines that, doesn't it?
It does, it does. And I think that what we mustn't do is say, well, actually, just because society and culture value certain people above others because that's how much we pay them. So on that scale, you know, kind of entertainers and footballers are worth so much more because of how much they're paid. But actually, if we see that all work can be glorifying to God, and we value all people, it means that we treat people the same.
So your worth comes from the fact that you're made in God's image.
Absolutely, and your work is part of your dignity. Yeah. Because
which of course is also helpful. We're not talking about today, but also helpful having a right view of marriage, right view of men and women, and just sort of, you know, what we pursue in terms of equality. Actually, people have worth not because of what they do, but actually because of how God sees them and how God has made them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And what we do doesn't necessarily mean that's what we do for the rest of our lives. You know, that actually we have, you know, we were talking earlier that we have lots of, many people have many different careers or different pathways through life, and not just economic ones, but actually how can we serve God in all of those and not just see, you know, this is what I'm doing right now and this will be forever what I will be doing. Our lives, all every aspect of our lives matters to God.
It seems to me, perhaps this is a sweeping generalisation. I love a generalisation, but we've drunk deeply at that well, haven't we?
Mm.
So we're thinking, we do a thing in church, and we'll talk about this perhaps in another episode where we talk about how we can encourage church leaders and how we can think about this in church. But we do a thing in church this time tomorrow, where we interview people, you know, what they're doing, and actually. Truth be told, we're probably either vocalizing or secretly thinking, I wonder who's got an interesting job or a high-powered job that we could interview in church tomorrow. We're not thinking, I wonder who's a carer.
yeah,
and could come and talk about what they're doing tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Because actually we've drunk so deeply at this well that there are certain people who make a greater contribution or have greater worth.
Yeah.
But that is entirely secular, isn't it? It's not a Christian view of work.
That's not a Christian view of work at all. And I think the danger is that we think that we ignore the people at those who have the, you know, kind of opportunities to do to have a greater influence. We forget that actually that they're important too. But those who have, you know, who work at whatever level, whether I think the danger is that we put that word just. I'm just a carer. I'm just that.
Yeah.
Actually, that's not how God sees you.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think there's a danger we see people through a cultural lens which says this is how we value you. But no, actually, in God's economy, no, your work, even though other people may not even see it, actually God sees it.
Yeah, yes. My wife, Celia, always gets cross when people say, and people have said to her in the past, do you work or do you stay at home with the children?
Yeah.
As though that isn't work.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Can we talk, we're drawing towards an end, can we talk a little bit about unemployment? So we didn't talk about this in our just sort of briefing beforehand, but I hope it's not too much of a curveball. It seems to me that from what you're saying, unemployment is not just an economic issue.
Hmm.
It's a theological issue, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Because we are made to work and there is value in different kinds of work.
Yeah, and we find dignity. You know, if work is a creation mandate, actually, it's not something out of the curse, it's something out of our human identity, then actually find when we're not in work, actually that it does affect our sense of self-worth.
Yeah, okay.
It doesn't affect how God sees us. So I think we need to recognise actually how painful unemployment can be to people.
Yeah, and there's a pastoral issue.
Absolutely.
So I think in church life, there will be churches in the FIC where they're located in high areas of unemployment. People find it difficult to get roles for various reasons. We need to both, it seems to me you're saying, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but we need to value those who are doing unpaid work.
Mm.
So it's not just a question of finding paid work.
Yeah.
There is value in that unpaid work. But equally, we need to pastor those and help those think rightly about work who are not in work and would like to be.
Yeah.
Actually, it's a noble calling to pursue work.
Absolutely. Yeah. And as Christians, actually, what can we do to enable those people to find work? I'm not an expert on unemployment, but I think we need to, as church leaders, recognise that if there are people who are unemployed or perhaps underemployed as well, that how we can pastor and support them to find work actually is a noble calling.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting, isn't it? Because we might think maybe that's the job of the state.
Yeah.
Or we might have a sort of a low view of someone who is unemployed for whatever reason. Actually, we need to change that attitude and say, actually, this is a pastoral issue to be addressed.
It is, yeah.
In terms of helping people, that's really helpful. Let's just go to the end of the story. We've done that briefly. You talked a little bit about the Garden City. You talked about the kings, you know, bringing their treasures and their splendor. How does seeing the whole of the gospel story, creation, fall, redemption, as well, through to new creation, how does that transform our view of work?
Well, I think what it does, it enables us to see the inherent dignity of it.
Okay.
That actually my work isn't just about earning money. It's not just about a kind of opportunities for the gospel, though it will lead to that. Yeah. But it's actually about how...
Funding my retirement. That's what I'm thinking at the moment.
serving other people. And you know, we often think, though, that lovely picture of a tapestry, we see one side of it, but we don't see the other side of the kind of the messiness and all the things that are untangled. That's the bit we see, but we don't necessarily see the great picture that's being designed on the other side. Yeah. And I think it's actually seeing our work as it is within a fallen world. It is sometimes frustrating and hard and challenging, but by God's grace, the things that we do, whether that's in paid employment, whether that's in our voluntary work, whether that's in our whatever we are, whatever those things are, actually can bring God glory. And actually that's when we see it from that perspective, that even the very simplest of things can be glorifying to God.
Yeah. So changing the nappy.
Bringing your colleague a cup of tea.
Yeah.
One of my wife's a nurse, and one of the things that the first thing that she does is to make sure everybody's lunch is taken. Everybody has a lunch break, which in hospitals is not always given.
No.
It's not always given because just the sheer complexity and the sheer amount of work that needs to be done. And it's been noted, somebody said actually, one of the things that really characterizes you is the fact that you make sure everybody has a lunch. Now, on the grand scale, I think actually does that really matter? But actually what you're doing is you're treating that person with dignity.
Yeah, so as you've defined it, I can see that's work. And
absolutely. And that's good work. And that's enabling others to flourish as well. Yeah. And I think none of that is wasted. And I think actually nobody wants to come to the end of their life and say, do you know what? I've wasted my entire life in insurance. I've wasted my entire life in
I'm not going to say anything. I've been rude to bankers. I'm not going to say anything about insurance.
But the point is we often say, I wish I spent more time doing church, time in church, as opposed to seeing that place where I spent my life as the place where God has called me. And we use that word calling in a kind of general sense that actually I've been called as a human being to love and serve others, to be the person that God's created me to be and saved me to be in that place at that moment. Nobody else is going to fulfill that job. Nobody else is going to be there, but I can, and I can serve God and glorify him. I can demonstrate what it means to follow Christ by the way that I work, the way I act in a way that nobody else can. And that shows dignity to that person as well.
One last thought. Mm. Working in the new creation?
We're going to be serving. So I think actually...
So at some level, yes?
I think so, yeah.
Not just singing Matt Redman songs?
I hope not.
Sorry, Matt. If he's listening, I'm sure he isn't.
But the point is that actually, if we see work as a creation mandate, actually, we have to get that model of work and rest. Whatever the future holds, it will be a continuation of work and rest, but in the renewed creation.
And I mean, we haven't touched on this at all, and I'm going to have the final word. Rest only makes sense in the context of work.
It does.
For God, for salvation, for all that we do, isn't it? So that's interesting. Julian, thank you very much. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
We'll speak again, no doubt. This has been Independence, the FIC podcast. If you've enjoyed listening, please do like us, share a link. That helps us. And look forward to hearing from you again soon, and look forward to seeing you and joining with you again soon.